Akhandam Sachidanandam Avang Manasagocharam Atmanam Akhiladharam Ashriye Pishta Siddhye Arthatokyadvayanandam Atita Dvaitabhanatah Guru Naradya Vedanta Saram Vakshayatamati. So we're on verse 128. What, right?
125, I think.
Oh, 126. I meant 126, sorry. Repeat after me. Aparas Charavakaha.
Aparas Charavakaha.
Anyantara.
Anyantara.
Atma.
Atma.
Pranamayaha.
Pranamayaha.
Ityadi Shrutehe.
Ityadi Shrutehe.
Pranabhava.
Pranabhava.
Indriyadi.
Indriyadi.
Chalanayogat.
Chalanayogat.
Aham Ashanayavan.
Aham Ashanayavan.
Aham Pipasavan.
Aham Pipasavan.
Ityadi.
Ityadi.
Anubhavacha.
Anubhavacha.
Prana.
Prana.
Atma.
Atma.
Iti.
Iti.
Vadati.
Vadati.
Let me just read it again with the Sandhi. Aparaha. Charvakaha, Anyaha, Antaraha, Atma, Pranamayaha, Iti, Adi, Shrutehe, Prana, Abhavaha, Indriyadi, Chalanayogat, Indriya, Adi, Chalanayogat, Aham Ashanayavan, Aham Pipasavan, Iti Adi, Anubhavacha, Pranaha, Atma, Iti Vadati. I think that should be ityadihi to go with the masculine.
At the end?
Yeah, adihi, not adi, it's neuter. Everything's in the masculine here. Like aham ashanayavan, aham pipasavan, ityadi, thus, etc. Actually, what it should be, that's wrong. What it should be is, it should be a straight line. There's a typo here. It should be part of a compound. Ityadi anubhavacha. Yeah.
But then it would become a yo.
No, that's true. Why did they break it there? Oh, let me think about it. Oh, don't worry about it. Kiki and I'll think about it later. Sanskrit.
Do that on Friday.
Yeah, we'll do them.
Saturday is also partly Sanskrit.
It is, but I don't have it.
You have to state that.
Well, you can look at the typesetting. It's real strange. And the typesetting here is not very good. Do you see that?
I have to think about this. Anyway. Aparaha Charvakaha Nominative. Other Charvakas. Remember in the previous verses, we've been working on what different types of Charvakas. Charvaka, by the way, Charvaka is the name of their guru.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it doesn't.
But I still don't have the etymology.
Right.
Yeah. Charvaka.
Charvaka.
Then the Charvakas.
Oh, right? Charvaka is the name of the group.
Yeah,
Charvaka,
yeah.
The followers.
Yeah, I just read this. Just 1 second.
Okay, let's go slow here.
Yeah.
Char. But it's ah. Both long ahs is the guru.
No,
followers.
the guru is the short
version. I think so. I just have to double check here. No, keep it long there. Listen, he says too that they were named for one of their teachers, the Muni, Chaturbhaka.
Oh, it's
this. So stays long. That's all they say, though, one of the teachers. They don't say anything else about it. Usually there's a tadita, you know?
Right, it would have made sense.
Yeah, but here the he said they were named for one of their teachers, the Muni Chaturbhaka.
Mm.
Okay, that's what, and that's, I haven't seen anything other than that. Okay, so aparaha, another charvaka, means for this group. We would say other charvakas, another group of charvakas. Aparaha, charvakaha. Anyaha antara atma pranamayaha. This is from the Taittiriya that we went through all of these. Here, iti adi shrutehe, fifth case. From the shruti beginning with, or from such shrutis as, you can say, anyaha anantara, another which is interior, atma. The atma, there's another which is interior, which is the pranamayaha. So there's another atma which is interior to the one that was told before. That is the prana, that is consists of just prana. Okay? And so, you know, from this shruti, even though you have to understand that the charvakas, along with the Bauddha and the Buddhists, the charvakas, the Buddhists, and the what are they?
Jains.
Yeah. Are Gnosticas. They don't accept the Vedas as a pramana, but here they can say, I'm just thinking of what Sadananda is thinking. They can say, well, your shruti itself says. They don't accept the shruti at all. Shruti is not a pramana for them. But they could say, your shruti itself says that the one that is innermost to, like, the sense organs and to the body is that atma, which is interior. That is made of prana. So your own shruti says it. That's how you have to take that. So from the shruti, which says that the atma, which is another, is another atma, which is interior. Interior means to the sense organs and to the body, to the anamaya kosha. Right, so you have the anamaya kosha, how does it go? The anamaya kosha, the pranamaya kosha, monomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha. So interior to the anamaya kosha is the pranamaya kosha. So that atma is made of prana. It's interior, it's another, you know? And so these charvakas, they can point to that shruti to substantiate them. Not that they need to be, they don't need it to substantiate themselves, but they can say, your own shruti says that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give a logic. Prana abhave. In the absence of the prana, when the prana is not there. I might not have said bhave when I was breaking the Sunday.
Yeah, we said abhava.
Yeah, prana abhave. In the absence of the prana, indriyadi cholana chalana yoga. Because of the chalana yoga, means because of the movement associated with the indriyas, with the sense organs, etc. Because that activity, that chalana activity, is not there in the absence of the prana. I take this like this. If, you know, if the body dies, if there's no prana there, then the prana, without the prana, without that vital force, the indriyas can't function. The body's dead also. So in the absence of the prana, the indriyas can't function. And then he says, aham ashanayavan, I am one who has hunger. That ashanaya is hunger. I'm one who has hunger. Aham ashanayavan, aham pipasavan, I'm one who is thirsty. I have hunger, I have thirst. Ityadi thus, etc. Anubhavat. From such experiences. The Shruti says, but then there are these experiences. There's two things. There's the Shruti. Your own Shruti says this. That there's an innermost Atma, which is Pranamaya, made of the Prana. There's also this logic. that when the prana is gone, the indriyas, the sense organs, don't function. And so the prana is the self, not the sense organs, because the prana are interior and the sense organs are dependent on it. And then from your own experience, anubhava. The anubhava is, I'm thirsty, I am hungry. And those are functions of the prana. So why he's saying like this is that he say for in the analysis of any shruti or in any school of thought, any darshana, three things have to be in order. One is it has to be true to what the shruti says. For Vedanta, or for somebody who accepts the shruti as a pramana, it has to be true to what the shruti says. It has to be logical, yukti, and it has to be true to your experience. Mm-hmm. So from something that doesn't accept the shruti, we would say it has to be true to the pramanas that you accept. Whatever you say, you have to have a pramana, a means of knowledge to back it up. It has to be logic, it has to be logical, and it has to be in conformity with your experience in order for something to be viable, for it to be true. But if it doesn't fit those three, it's called shruti, yukti, anubhava. Yukti is logic, anubhava is experience. So shruti, yukti, anubhava. All these three have to be there. And so now what Sadananda is doing is he's taking these things that are positions that a charvaka might take, and he's looking at how they would answer it in terms of shruti, yukti, anubhava, answer it to a Vedantin. Your shruti says this. This is the logic,
yeah.
You know. This is our logic for it. This is what your shruti says. This is our logic for it. And this is the experience. And so he's saying all of this now, because after we go through several of these, we're going to do one more charvaka, and then next week we'll do the Balda and the Mimamsakas. After we go through all of these, then he was going to start teaching Vedanta again.
Yeah.
And take each one of these positions and show why they're not true. See? That's the logic. So let's do this one more charvaka, then we'll be done. We'll do the Balda when...
So, excuse me. So the shruti, yukti, and anubhava have to...
For something to be true.
Right. But that's generally held to be an argumentation, the rules of argumentation, that you can use that argument. Is that right?
Well, we do use it in argumentation, but it's a little broader term than that. Like, for something to be true, this is the most general, it has to be supported by a pramana. In our case, in Vedanta, it has to be supported by the shruti. Because what Vedanta has to say, a lot of it relies on the shruti as the pramana, because your sense organs can't give you that knowledge. But if you're not, if you're a Gnostica and you're not relying on the Shruti as your pramana, then whatever you say in a darshana, it has to have a pramana, a means of knowledge backing it. Your means of knowledge has to be, what you say has to be able to be known within the sphere of the means of knowledge that you accept. For instance, in the Bauda, in the Buddhist, they really only accept pratyeksha, perception, and inference. And so whatever statement that the Buddha makes, or that the Madhyamakas or the other Buddhist schools make, it has to be able to be substantiated by perception and inference. Otherwise, you're just in your imagination. You have no means of knowledge to make that assertion. And for the Vedanta, it's the Shruti. Because in the end, the Mahavakya, so many things are dependent on the Shruti, because they're not in the realm of sense perception. So you need to have the pramana backing what you say. Then it should be logical, and then it should have experience. And so, and even as we unfold in the prakriyas, teaching methodology, you have to unfold the shruti, you have to give the logic to how that holds true once you make use of the pramana, and how it logically holds true, and how it experientially holds true. Otherwise, there's no knowledge taking place. And so, yes, when you're doing debate between the darshanas, which is so common in India, these are always going to be at play.
So you can use that perspective anytime you go to listen to somebody, they have to satisfy those requirements.
They might not feel that way.
Yeah,
but we would. Your mind will be looking for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because otherwise,
and that's why they're able to use a shruti that they don't consider to be pramana in argumentation.
Or
because
it was,
that's not part of their rules.
Yeah, but what Sadananda is just doing that for us, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because just to make sort of a little point of clarity there, when two different darshanas are in debate, you can't really bring up a means of knowledge in the debate that both don't accept, both need to accept. So, for instance, so if there's a debate between a Buddhist and a Vedantin, we can't talk about the Shruti, what the Shruti says. Because the Buddhist doesn't accept the Shruti as pramana, right? And so, and if there's some other means of knowledge that maybe they don't accept, anupalabdhi or non-cognition or something, whatever they don't accept, it's off the table. The debate can only take place, these are the rules of debate, they can only take place using the means of knowledge that both accept. And so what that would mean in terms of a Vedantin debating a Buddhist, for instance, is that using the Buddhist's own means of knowledge, we would negate the truth of what the Buddhist has to say. But we couldn't establish what we have to say because they won't accept the Shruti Pramana. But we can negate everything that they have to say.
So this is going to be really a process of negation with all these schools.
It's a process of negation. Yeah. But not really for us, because since we're Vedantins, he will negate, and then having negated, establish.
Right, but I mean...
But first, yeah, first there'll be negation.
Okay.
This is just important stuff for understanding how the commentaries are, how we deal with the commentaries, even the whole Brahma Sutras, is what we call Purvapaksha Siddhanta. Purvapaksha is the opponent's position. The Siddhanta is the... position of the whatever souls. I think there were Vedantins, so the Siddhanta would be our position. The Purvapaksha is what the opponent or the other school will present. The Siddhanta is how we will answer. So it's called Purvapaksha Siddhanta. So what you'll see is that in the commentaries, what we call a bhasha. Bhasha is more than just giving meaning of each word and then the meaning of the shloka. That's what gives the meanings of the words, then the meaning of the shloka, then it gives Purvapaksha Siddhanta wherever necessary. And sometimes it'll go on, sometimes with Shankara, the Purvapaksha Siddhanta will go on for pages. One objection, then this brings the next objection, then this brings the next objection, he'll bring in different schools of thought. But it's not for every verse, it just depends on whether that verse lends itself. Like, he will know, because he knows all of the different darshanas, he'll know that the Bauddha will take this like this, the Sankhya will take this like this. This is not what's being meant there, so he'll do the whole argument to show what's actually being meant. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do this one last verse quickly, because there's not a lot in it. Anyastu Charavakaha. Anyantara Atma Manomayaha Ityadi Shrutehe Manasi Sute Prana Dehe Abhavat Aham Sankalpavan
Aham
Vikalpavan
Aham
Ityadi
Anubhavacha
Mana-atma
Iti
Dariti. Let me read it with a sendi. Anyaha tu Charavakaha Anyaha antaraha Atma manomayaha Anyaha antaraha Atma manomayaha Iti Adi Shrutehe Manasi Sute Prana Dehe Prana Adehe abhavat, aham sankalpavan, aham vikalpavan, iti adi anubhavat cha manaha atma iti vadati. Anyaha tu charvakaha. Whereas another charvaka, then at the bottom, manaha atma iti vadati, whereas another charvaka, vadati, says, the mind is the atma. Manaha atma iti vadati. That's your sentence. Anyaha tu charvakaha, manaha atma iti vadati. Another charvaka says, the mind is the self. And he says, using this shruti, anyaha antara atma manomayaha, there is another atma, which is interior, even to the prana. That is the manas, that's the mind, made of the mind stuff. So that atma is more subtle and interior to the prana. So he's negating the one who thinks that it's prana. So iti adi shrutehe, from the shruti, the anyantara atma manomayaha, from the shruti. And then he says, now he gives some logic. Manasi supte, when, absolute locative, when the mind is asleep, when the mind is asleep, manasi supte, when the mind sleeps, prana dehe, of prana, etc. The prana, the etc. includes the sense organs. Prana dehe, abhavat, because of the absence of the prana and the sense organs when the mind is asleep. It's absence to your experience is the idea. Prana is continuing. The sense organs are not functioning at all. They're in unmanifest. The prana is still functioning. Your body is still... Right. The prana is still functioning, but there's no cognition of it at all. And so the mind is interior to the prana. The mind has to be awake for you to even be aware of the prana and the sense organs. So when the mind has gone to sleep, they're not there in terms of your experience. But and then we also... So that's the logic. Hi, Tibbs. Oh, it's okay.
Oh, poor cat.
So then, now he gives an anubhava. Come on, Tibby. Aham sankalpavan. Why? Uh-huh. What is it? Tibby, what is it? Come here.
She's getting into bad habits now.
Yeah.
She's training us.
That's true, I think. We'll watch and see if she has some stress right now. So, aham sankalpavan. That's okay. Aham sankalpavan. Aham vikalpavan. Ityadi anubhavat cha. And from the anubhava. See? Shruti yukti anubhava. And from the anubhava. Aham sankalpavan. Sankalpa means, I think this is the way it is, where you make a determinative thought. I make a sankalpa, I have a resolution, a resolved thought. Then I have a vikalpa. No, it's not really that way. The sankalpa, vikalpa. That's the manas is subject to sankalpa vikalpa. You think it's this way? No, it's that way. This guy translates as pros and cons. It's not really. But that's the idea. You make an assertion and then you negate it. Assertion, then you negate it. I think it's this way, you're sure, and then you doubt it. So that's the nature of the mind, sankalpa vikalpa. So he says, and from the experience, I make sankalpas, and then I make negating statements also. Sankalpa vikalpa. So manaha atma iti vedati. So this charvaka says, I am the mind, based upon these three things. Quoting our own shruti. And then showing that it's only when the mind is up that we're even aware of the prana and the sense organs. When the mind's asleep, they're not there for us in terms of our experience, right? And then I also identify with myself as being one who has sankalpa and vikalpa. These are all so weak, it's hard for us to even talk about it, but he's just setting us up to go through methodically and negate the ahankara's identification with all of these.
Are sankalpa
and vikalpa nominative? No, it's a nominative like Bhagavan, nominative, masculine, nominative. Sankalpa vat.
Sankalpa vat.
Yeah.
I forgot the word that we use for sankalpa. I can't think of the word.
Sankalpa, vikalpa?
Yeah, the word for sankalpa.
Resolution.
Resolution. It's determinative thinking. It's a resolution. It's a...
make an assertion. I think.
Assertion? No, but there's another word.
There's another word.
Postulation?
No.
Like what you do at New Year?
It's like a commitment, but that, what's that word?
Yeah. Intention.
Like a sankalpa, like, for Swamiji.
Yeah, like you make a sankalpa for, yeah, like an intention.
Yeah.
So, there is another word, too.
I can't think of it.
Let's say our prayers. No. Something like that, though.
Yeah, you said that one
wrong. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.